Ladies and gentlemen, thinkers and debaters, fence sitters and firebrands, welcome to the Big Top of Talk, the high-flying, death-defying, no-holds-barred spectacle of ideas. This is Common Ground, where left meets right, up meets down, and common sense fights to survive. We're here to cut through the noise, bridge the divide, and maybe, just maybe, find a little middle ground along the way. So grab your coffee, buckle up, and keep your hands inside the conversation at all times. Because it's time for open minds, open dialogue, and maybe even a little common ground for the common good. Here are your hosts, Melissa Lucas and Scott Goodman.
Same boat. We can all believe what we believe. Peacefully agree, disagree.
Hello and good morning. Scott Goodman here with Melissa Lucas, and welcome to another episode of Common Ground on KNTR Talk Radio 106.7, 5 and 3, Voice of the Free. Catch us here every Tuesday at 10 o'clock now instead of 9 o'clock due to daylight savings, and that's until spring. Well, today is Veterans Day, and we honor those who have served in our military. And this holiday has a special meaning to me because my eldest son is an active duty Navy submariner stationed in Washington. But our topic today is interesting because it is Veterans Day, of course, is the care of these same veterans, health care, both physical and mental health, housing, career support, and other services that are needed to help these heroes who have served our nation and us. There has been a huge lack of resources and access to services and a lack of accountability and mismanagement reported widely for decades. President Trump made Veteran Affairs one of his top priorities, and he did so as well in the first term. We will be discussing these issues today with our in-studio guests. And Melissa, how about letting our listeners know about our guests today and the staff that makes the show happen, and let our listeners know how to reach out to us on Common Ground featured on KNTR Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Scott. Welcome back to Common Ground right here live on 106.7, 5 and 3, Voice of the Free. You can text us in at 928-727-5566 or call in at 928-854-KNTR. And remember, if you're traveling through the tri-state, you can listen to us on 106.3 in Golden Valley and Kingman, 106.5 in Laughlin, Bullhead, and Mojave Valley Needles, and 106.7 in Lake Havasu. I'm going to do a quick shout-out to our sponsors. Thank you so much, Blonzy Steakhouse, Golden Valley Auto Parts and Hardware, Annie's Thrift Shop, Martin Swanee, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Kia, and Neat Pool and Supply. Today in-house, we have Red Bull Ronnie, our co-creator, Marissa June, our producer, and Paul Lavoie, our operations manager. And we have a special guest today. Welcome to the show, Danny Sterbinski. You are a veteran. I looked you up. You were in the Navy.
Yeah.
And thank you for your service. There's a whole parade going on outside.
Just for you.
Just for you.
I know. I showed up, and they really showed out. They even gave me a Snickers.
Really?
Nice.
Wow.
A veteran Snickers.
Nice. Yes. So today we're going to be talking about some of the services or lack thereof for veterans. And I was glad that was our topic. I did a little bit of research on that with one of our local massage therapists. And there's only, I think, two now in Lake Havasu City that are that take veterans insurance.
Oh, wow. That's incredible that they even offer that service, because that's few and far between.
Right. So my daughter is one of the ones that she was like the first one that did it. And I asked her, how much stuff did you have to go through to get the veterans? And it's quite a bit. It's a lot of paperwork, which is silly because it shouldn't be.
Well, welcome to the wonderful world of government bureaucracy.
Right.
There's no way around it. It doesn't matter what you do. You have to file out. Think about Obamacare, we discussed recently. The paperwork that you have to fill out online, you know, just to be eligible, see if you're eligible. But with the veterans, they have been neglected woefully for decades.
Right.
And, Danny, how do you feel about the way that the veterans have been treated, being the fact that you're one as well? Have you ever needed services from the veterans?
Yeah, absolutely.
What did you go through? Or did you have issues?
That red tape, all of that paperwork.
Mountains
that
of
you
paperwork,
talk about,
yeah.
There's a lot of red tape and bureaucracy that makes it difficult for veterans to access care, and honestly deters many of them from going through the process. So as a veteran myself, when I think about service, it's not just what happens when your son's in the service or when they're overseas, but what happens after. And when people talk about supporting veterans, we often hear a lot of slogans, but I look at it through a little bit of a different lens. My background is in psychology, so a fundamental theory is Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You've got healthcare, housing, shelter, food, security.
Basic stuff.
Yeah, exactly, your basic stuff. So before any of us can really thrive, our basic needs need to be met. Stability and purpose, health and housing. And I think that's where our country is falling short for too many veterans.
Well, that being said, in August of this year, they passed the Veterans Experience Office and initiated that program to get the feedback from the veterans to see where they're lacking. Because you spoke on this, the problem that veterans, a lot of them have, is they may have some mental issues, a number of them, and they're presented with a daunting task on the paperwork, and they give up. They don't know where to go, they get lost, they get discouraged, and they just walk away.
Absolutely. You're asking somebody who's suffering from depression to complete mounds of paperwork when
right.
they can barely get out of bed some days.
So what I think is now happening is I think they're opening up offices to help assist veterans in getting to the programs that they can use. And it's a feedback loop that they're creating, and they're to create change and to elicit change. So I'm hoping it gets better. What is your experience with improvements that have been made recently? Because even if you're not on the same page with me politically, you have to agree that President Trump has taken some great steps in initiating programs to help the veterans.
I would agree that the VA is on the right track and improving. Last fiscal year, 24, they did a record number of appointments, 127 million appointments. So the capacity is improving, but access and navigation are still real barriers. And the Trump administration, for all that he says he will do for veterans, they are and have been cutting staff, approximately 15% of their staff from the VA, and that's going to slow down appointments.
Maybe it's cutting the dead weight as well. There's a lot of accountability on management, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think we could cut some dead weight, like you say, administratively. Our country...
Not frontline service, though.
No, exactly, not frontline service. We need more nurses, doctors, support, and some of those are being cut. So, for instance, you asked about my experience. I spoke with a veteran the other day who diagnosed PTSD, was doing well for some time, isn't feeling their best right now, called the VA to schedule an appointment for a mental health appointment. This was last month. They said, great, we'd love to see you. You can come in February. That is unacceptable.
Right. Yeah.
Well, what I can say from my personal experience, because I deal with a lot of people in my business that are elderly, retired veterans, who have some of them have a lot of trouble getting appointments. Some of them do better. Here in Havasu, it's not as bad as other places, okay? I haven't heard a lot of complaints about getting appointments here locally. That being said, the biggest problem I see is the homelessness right now. You've got people with mental illness, with traumatic disorders that are related to their service, and they can't work. And the amount of money that they're receiving in benefits is not enough to cover a living expense for a month in a home. And so they're homeless. And then, of course, there's a number of them that choose to be homeless because of a variety of reasons. But they established a National Center for Warrior Independence, which is a center for homeless veterans to try to get people normalized back into society again. But it goes back to the mental illness. If you can't fix the mental illness, you can throw money at people. You can give them a program. But if they're not, if their brains are not working well because of their disorders that they're under, they need to get treatment.
Right. And it's a vicious cycle. I strongly believe with the current VA system, when you're discharged, you have to opt in to medical. I want veterans to automatically be opted in, and they have a choice to opt out. And when they go through that process, they should also have a risk assessment to see what services they may need as they transition from active duty to civilian world. As far as homelessness goes, you're absolutely right. That is a problem, but we have seen real progress over the years. In January of 2024, veteran homelessness hit a record low. So about 32,800 veterans nationwide are homeless right now. But that is down about 7.5% just from last year. So we are making strides on that, but my goal is to finish the job. We need to make veteran homelessness effectively zero by expanding VASH vouchers or veteran VA support housing vouchers. And that will add more case managers and ensure that housing placement comes with mental health and job support.
So one of the ideas that I had years ago was to use a portion of the defense budget for hiring caseworkers, to where a person gets out of the military and they're assigned a caseworker. And those caseworkers have a large workload, but they still are able to handle, the cases that people get out. Now, once again, you talked about opt-in, opt-out. So you're assigned a caseworker and you get out, you're doing well, you have a business, a job, and you're doing great, and your mental health is sound, and you're not homeless, you can opt out. You don't need it. So then you walk away. You can always come back, but you walk away. So it's proper allocation of funds and reallocation of funds. I don't know if you're aware of this. I'm from Los Angeles. They had the West Campus. I don't know if you heard about this. This is the craziest thing ever. Decades, I think it's 40 years or more, VA has been leasing parts of a 388-acre West Los Angeles, and in prime territory, a multi-million dollar territory. They had a VA Medical Center campus, and they leased them to a wealthy and private school, the University of California Los Angeles baseball team. No veteran services whatsoever. Zero. The executive order that Trump passed was to relinquish all the rights that those people had to leasing that land and revert it back to a campus for the intent of benefiting veterans. So that's just one snapshot of the ridiculous situation that the government puts us in, that they just have a beautiful campus that's designed for veterans and for medical treatment, and they release it to a baseball team in a private school.
That's crazy.
And no veteran services whatsoever. So that's been reverted back. But that's just one headline one. How many little small situations are we dealing with every day that the veterans could have access to something that's been either taken away, closed down, or mutated into something that it wasn't designed to do?
Yeah, and that's just in a big city. I mean, let's talk about what about our rural areas?
That's correct.
Considerably underserved.
And how many veterans would one caseworker have to manage?
Well,
I mean, you would need a lot.
But that's the whole point. We spend $900 billion on the defense budget. We could allocate funds to defend the veterans.
Absolutely.
So what, they fire 15,000 veterans workers and they hire 15,000 caseworkers. It would be a simple... And they would, it would gainfully employ people who are trying to benefit the veterans. And it would help the veterans greatly to have an access to a person to talk to.
That's a great idea.
But we'll talk more about this after the break here on Common Ground, KNTR 106.7, 5 and 3.
Voice of the Free.
Catch you in a minute.
And you no longer burn to be prisoner.
Welcome back to Common Ground right here live on 106.7, 5 and 3. Voice of the Free. You can text us in at 928-727-5566 or call in at 928-854-5687. I do have an announcement here. Burgers by the Bridge is offering free sandwiches to all vets from 11 a.m. to 8:30, so head on down there. And Speak Out also will be off today in observant for Veterans Day. So, Marissa, you got some sponsor reads for us?
I do, starting with Blonzy's Steakhouse. Mouthwatering steaks and a breakfast menu that has everyone talking. Whether it's date night or brunch with friends, great taste is always on the menu. Blonzy's is where Havasu eats, off London Bridge Road in Desert Hills. Second, we have Golden Valley Auto Parts and Hardware. They're the small town store with the biggest auto and hardware selection in the area. Find what you want online at goldenvalleyhardware.com and pick it up in store today. Just off Bowie Road in Golden Valley. Sorry about that. And lastly, we have Annie's Thrift Shop. Shopping at Annie's Thrift Store isn't just about great deals, it's about giving back. Every purchase helps support local charities, making your find more than just a bargain. It's a blessing. Annie's Thrift Store, thrifting with a purpose.
All right. Thank you, Marissa. And I do have a text here. So it says, need supervised grants to outfits like tunnels to towers, Veterans Village. Government always does less for more.
Well, I mean, Tunnels to Towers is doing amazing work. And the only problem with it is it's narrow in scope.
Where's Tunnels for Towers located?
They're in New York. His son was a firefighter who was killed in the Trade Center bombings.
Oh.
So he started the Tunnels to Towers Foundation. And it's got a lot of traction, and it's doing really well. And it's doing wonderful things for veterans who can't live in a normal home. They have to have their homes retrofitted for their injuries, as well as the families of fallen veterans who are now given mortgage-free homes. So
wow.
It's a big deal. The only problem, it's not really a problem, it needs to catch fire. We need to get 65 of those, 150 of those kind of organizations where we're doing it for everybody. They have a huge impact, but it's narrow in scope because of the sheer volume of people in need.
Right.
Think of all the veterans who have been horribly injured, especially during the Iran-Iraq war, with the IEDs. You had people losing both their legs, their eyes, their arms. It was horrifying. And they come home, and they're in a home with, you know, 8 steps to get up to their front door.
Right.
And 2-story homes, you know, there just doesn't, and they can't afford on their limited income from their pensions for their injuries to retrofit their homes. So that's where Tunnel for Towers comes in. They're a really great group, and the money it's cheap. It's $11 a month, for God's sakes. I mean, and it works.
Mm-hmm. It's worth it.
Yeah.
But you know, as we were talking before the break, about care for the veterans, especially to have a number, a phone number. You know, I do business with different companies, and you call a toll-free number, and you get 50 different prompts to get a hold of somebody, and then they put you on hold for 30 minutes, and then or an automated system. You know, a veteran who's in need, who needs outreach, he needs to hear a human voice, needs to be able to pick up the phone and make a call, and somebody answers the phone.
Right.
I mean, they don't have the ability to go through all this BS to get there.
You can come and see us in February. That's just outrageous, and especially for a mental health
issue.
Yeah, I
support a same-week telehealth or in-person crisis evaluation for those veterans in need for mental health services.
Well, the problem is that the government is like a dinosaur. You kick it in the tail, and 20 minutes later it says, ow. You know, the response times and the lag time for anything. It's just like when I tell people all the time, when a president stands up on stage and touts his accomplishments that he's had, there's a 3 to 4 year lag on implementing a process, a law, or a decree, or an executive order before the impact really shows. So when a president stands up and says, hey, I did all this great stuff, it could be from the previous administration, because it takes a while for things to have impact. So with the veterans things, I think that President Trump's first term, where he actively was involved in, Doug Collins, our Secretary of VA, this is a quote from him, under President Trump, VA is implementing a host of important reforms to improve the care and benefits to our nation's heroes. Pretty simple. He said in the next paragraph, under President Biden, the VA failed to hold its employees properly accountable and actively fought congressional attempts to make it easier to fire poor-performing workers, even as health care wait times and benefits backlogs increased. So, that is a direct quote from the VA. Now, I get a look from you, Dana.
Yeah,
so I want to retort.
That might be his quote. But if that's the case, fiscal year 2024 is the highest amount of doctor's appointments provided to veterans in recent history.
Okay.
Who was president in 2024?
I believe that would be Joe Biden.
Right, absolutely. He did a lot for veterans, and the housing crisis, a 7% increase for veterans under Joe Biden. So really, read that quote one more time. Tell me how.
I will read the quote. It's bottom line is, the reason I read both those quotes is how political things are. And I was waiting for you to give me that response. And I got the big shoulder shrug and the back in the chair look. So this is what happens in government, where you have an appointed secretary in the VA, Doug Collins, by President Trump. So he is supportive of the president. As a matter of fact, just before I left for here, I watched Doug Collins with J.D. Vance and President Trump presenting the wreath to the Tomb of the Unknown. So Doug Collins was there in lockstep with them. It shouldn't be a political office. All he should have said was, we are current, not even identifying the president, we are currently on the uptrend in helping these veterans, and these are the programs that we're doing, and this is what's happening. It doesn't have to always be politicized. Let's rah 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 Trump, boo Joe Biden, at the loss and at the cost of the veterans.
Veteran services shouldn't be politicized.
Exactly.
Veterans are a nonpartisan issue, and how we take care of them while they're in the service and after they're discharged should not be a partisan issue or be a part of their political theater. Their lives on the stake, on the line with veterans, especially with mental health. And these services need to be identified before they're out. There are about 41% of veterans who will need mental health services each year.
And it gets worse, because if they're not being treated, their conditions become worse progressively over time. And the amount of dedicated needs for those people will continue to get greater and greater.
So you push off a mental health appointment until February, and maybe that veteran can't wait. And that's why veteran suicide, it occurs 1.5 times higher than civilians.
And drug abuse.
Absolutely. It's all linked.
We have a text?
Yes, we do. This is referring to the Tunnels to Towers comment that we had before. It was his brother.
Oh, brother? I thought it was his son.
And the veterans' villages are purchased motels and hotels that are shelters specifically for homeless vets. Look it up. T2T has two ways they help.
I wasn't aware of that part.
Interesting.
About
thank
about
you so
rental.
Much.
Thank you for
I
that.
I love
text.
Little fact checkers out
I,
there.
I love that community and organizers are creating these programs that help veterans.
Well, they have to. If the government's not doing
precisely,
it.
Precisely, Melissa.
We're not taking
we're
care
the
of them.
On the same page there.
Yeah, we have to. That's like.
But that shouldn't be the responsibility
of we the
of
people.
We the people to organize and take care of our vets. Of course, we should take care of them and thank them for their service. But they signed a contract with the government. And the government has an obligation to care for them. And they need to start doing that before they're out, instead of waiting until they're out and then there's problems.
Well,
so a better transition program.
Let's think about this. They're in the process, unrelated, but they're in the process of renewing testing of nuclear weapons in the Department of War. How much is that going to cost?
Too dang much.
A lot.
And so just to initiate tests for our nuclear arsenal, which in the event that we need to use them, the world's over anyway. So if 30% or 20% don't work, that what does it really matter? We have thousands of nuclear weapons. My point is, the money that's allocated in those type of situations and those types of needs that they clarify as being needed could be used and allocated elsewhere. So if it was $1 billion to do these testing, half a billion dollars, how far would $500 million go in veterans' help and veterans' affairs? So reallocation of funds in the Defense Department is the first thing that needs to be done in my mind. We have a responsibility, an overwhelming responsibility to support our veterans, because the new people coming on board, the high school students who just took ASVAB and are thinking about going in the military, but they hear about their uncle who committed suicide because he couldn't get treatment, and they might take second thoughts about joining.
Right.
Well, how are they going to support me? What are they going to do for me? And if I need help. So I think it's imperative to maintain the morale and the enlistments of soldiers going forward is imperative that we manage our veterans better. And it's just the way it is.
I would agree. If your enlistment levels are down, then look at your veterans and see what you can do differently, because that's going to influence the next generation on whether or not they're going to be enlisting.
Well, right. Think about this. You said 41%. Are going to need help of some kind, mental health. Is that correct?
Yes.
So what you're saying is, if you have 10 veterans that want to speak to high school students about joining the military, four of them are having mental illness issues. So six of them will give positive outlooks. 40% of them, not so much.
And let's also talk about that the 41% is what's recorded. There's a
sure.
stigma of mental health and even talking about those issues while you're in service. So there is a large population that goes unreported.
Well, a fear of retribution, a fear of... I think is, Marissa has
is
something
Is there
to say.
Services offered while they're on the ground, boots on the ground? And
oh, yeah.
There?
Absolutely.
My son being one of them, with my father-in-law passing on Thursday, he was given an opportunity to speak with counsel.
Yeah.
At the military, at the Navy base.
There is opportunity for sure for them to talk to anyone while they're usually on a ship. If for my myself in the Navy,
the
there's a chaplain on board. I do think that a licensed professional counselor, other than a chaplain, would behoove the Navy. That's a Navy word.
Uh-huh.
You hear it every day. And that would be beneficial, but there is a huge stigma, so a lot of them aren't going to talk about it while they're in the service.
Right, or even after.
Marissa, you had something you wanted to say?
Yes, I did. I mean, even in the past, like, well, 3 years ago, I even saw the fear of not being able to be taken care of after affect these kids thinking about joining, because I believe my graduating class had about 10 that committed to going into different services, and then when I went to my sister's graduation, there were only like 3.
Well, first thing,
wow.
the amount of money that people can make in the private sector in many cases is greater than what you'd make initially in the military. That being said, if you're MOS, if your job in the military is a higher end job, I got to be honest, my son's raking in. He's a nuclear engineer on a submarine. So he does fairly well. It depends on what your job is. Infantry motor pool, you're going to get less pay and less advancement. So do well in school, everybody. Anyone listening has kids or listening as a young adult, do good in school, get a great score in your ASVAB, and they will throw the MOS book at you and say, what do you want to do? And then you have options, and you get a big signing bonus and a big reenlistment bonus. That being said, I think my engineer is telling us that we need to go on a little bit of a break here on Common Ground, KNTR 106.7, 5, and 3.
Voice of the Free.
Catch you here in a minute.
Side by side, thought we'd be met as liberators in a thousand-year-old fight.
I'm an American soldier. I will proudly take a stand.
Welcome back to Common Ground right here live on 106.7, 5, and 3, Voice of the Free. You can text us in at 928-727-5566 or call in at 928-854-KNTR. I do have another announcement for Free Veterans Day Luncheon today from 11 to 2 at 3532 McCulloch, the Elks Lodge. So it's free for all vets and $5 for all others. Marissa, what you got?
All right. Gonna do a shout-out to the last of our sponsors, Martin Swanee, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Kia. Since 1985, Martin Swanee Kingman has been more than a dealership. It's a legacy built on honest deals and handshakes, celebrating 40 years of doing it right by folks one happy driver at a time, off East Andy Devine in Kingman. And lastly, we have Neat Pool and Supply, serving Lake Havasu since 1970. From expert consultations to top-notch supplies and service, they've got everything for pools and spas. Family-owned and operated right in the heart of Havasu, it's where your backyard oasis begins, located at 52 Scott Drive. And I do have a quick programming announcement from our operations manager. The glitches and pops our listeners are hearing right now from the Brian Kilmeade and Sean Hannity shows, along with state and national news, is coming from an interface with our satellite signals. We have our engineer working on the problem right now, but in the meantime, we have great hosts like Chad Benson in the morning and Dana Lash during the afternoon. This program change is temporary. Your favorite shows will be back. Thank you for your patience, and thank you for listening to KNTR Talk.
Thank you.
Thank you. I do have another text here. It says, enlistment are at record levels. I joined at 16 years, 6 months. The draft was on, no problem. Getting cannon fodder during Vietnam era. Conscription always fills boot camp, like your show. Thanks for your efforts.
Well, thank you for the text.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah.
And thank you for being cannon fodder for the U.S. government in Vietnam.
Yeah.
That's pretty rough. That of all the wars, because I was a political science major in school, For all the wars, Vietnam was the ugliest. It really was. I mean, not the volume of deaths and all that. It was just an ugly campaign and a terrible environment for warfare. It was jungle warfare is the worst.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things I want to talk to you, Danny, about is the legislative and administrative actions recently that have popped up that, of course, haven't been able to take great effect yet. But the Veterans Choice Program Extension and Improvement Act, which is directly what we're talking about, giving veterans easier access to out-of-VA network doctors, regular doctors. You know how hard it is for a veteran to see a normal, regular doctor?
Regular doctor, yeah.
You book now, get in February.
Right.
You know, so they're trying to ease that, but it takes time. Reason it takes time, reimbursement to the doctors from the U.S. government, from veterans. The paperwork is just as bad on that end. So they have to file a myriad of papers and different forms for them to get reimbursed for the treatment of the patients.
Right. That's why a lot of people don't do it. That's why I was asking the massage therapist, how come and why is that and how much paperwork, which says a lot.
Well,
I love that we are trying to make it easier for veterans to see any doctors using their VA benefits. My one concern about pushing that in also align like along with the cuts to the VA is, are we trying to privatize like VA care, and what will they lose if that does happen?
That is exactly what I was going to bring up
next. Well, I'm glad we're on the same page, Scott. We're always finding common ground here.
You bet. So VA care is not readily accessible. We know that. But there's also been concerns about the administration's long-term goals and potential shifting of funding away from public VA towards the private sector in a voucher-type program. And this is unproven, untested territory. And so we can't afford to make big mistakes like that. Because to undo the damage and undo the process once it's been implemented is very difficult. Once again, the government, the big dinosaur, you know.
I think the idea of vouchers could be beneficial. My hesitation with that is if we were to look at, now this is off topic for veterans, but if we look at voucher systems for school, and when they initially came out and they were supposed to support in needs, special needs children.
Mm-hmm.
And now what we're seeing with those voucher systems are honestly a lot of fraud and a siphoning away from our public schools to children and families who have never been in public schools. So I have concerns about the voucher systems for VA because I'm worried that it will change the care and affect the continuity of care that they receive.
And once, as we know, once it's shifted for good usually. So I believe that they're making the right effort, and I think that overall I think their thinking is in the right place. I just don't see it. There you go. I was off the air for a minute, I think. But anyway, I don't believe that the attempts that they're making to are we good? No, we're making crunchy sounds. The thoughts are in the right place. The idea is in the right place. The problem is when you implement a new program, when you have no studies to understand where the change is going to affect and how it's going to affect, but once you've let the genie out of the bottle, it's almost impossible to put it back in. So either they're right, it's like the old terrorist analogy, we have to be right 100% of the time and they only have to be right once.
Right.
So I believe that the hearts and minds are in the right place. I just don't think that they have the ability to make the proper decision on short notice just by a stroke of a pen.
Correct. But
I have a question about the private sector thing. So if they're going to the private sector, you have VA hospitals, and then you have like the legacy hospital next to it. Are the doctors in the VA hospital being paid equivalent to the people in the legacy hospital?
That's a great question. I don't know, to be honest
with
you.
So maybe that I really want to know the answer to that question, because maybe
we have somebody investigating as we speak.
The fact checker over there.
Yeah,
so the level, do you know what I mean? Like, you might be, if you go to the legacy hospital, maybe you have a specialist that's more educated or maybe a better doctor than maybe at the VA hospital because they're at different levels or pay grades?
I'm going to make a guess, and it's an educated guess on this one. They're being paid less. Reason being, The private sector surgeons, for example, are making ridiculous amounts of money because they're billing the insurance companies. I believe that they're going to be with the government, and you submit a claim, it's going to be deny, appeal, deny, appeal. It takes time to get paid, if you get paid at all. It might be out of the scope of what you're allowed to do as a surgeon, and they want to help the patient. But I would tend to see common sense as they're being paid less.
Yeah. The private sector. VA a year ago did their own independent analysis, and it showed that having integrated VA systems often deliver better outcomes than just having fragmented private care, especially when they have complex conditions.
Well, the facts are in
okay.
Our fact
Looks
checker.
Like she's looking that up right now. I do have a text real quick that says another big problem with school vouchers is a lack of accountability.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. There's a lack of accountability with our ESA vouchers, and I have concerns about a lack of accountability if the VA were to switch to a voucher system.
So
it does
got?
Look like the private sector, such as Legacy Health, are often paid more in total compensation than the doctors at VA hospitals, particularly in the long term.
Though VA
positions right. offer competitive benefits and job stability, but retention at the VA is a huge problem.
That is a problem. If you've got Legacy next door that's paying way more, what's going to make you stay there?
Well, you know, as you think about it in the court system, a public defender or a prosecuting attorney is going to make less than a defense attorney. That's just
Correct.
The way it is, okay? You're working for the government.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, the reality for me personally is that I believe that we're in a situation right now where money has to be reallocated. There was a movie many, many years ago called Dave. It was a movie about a person who was impersonating the President of the United States because he looked exactly like him. And the president went into a coma, and they recruited him to be in the role of the president because they didn't want the vice president, who was Ben Kingsley, to become president. So he took the job of president, and he was supposed to just be a figurehead, take pictures, shake hands, and all that. He ended up getting involved, and what he did was he got a line item veto deal where he went line item for line item with Congress to trim the budget and balance the budget. That being said, that the way that is, if in fact we could do something like that with defense budget or the entire budget, where we can just go through and just say, wait, why are we doing this? Why are we paying for this? Why are we paying so much for this?
Why are we spending $600 for a screwdriver for a contractor?
Well, that's a whole other story, but
yeah.
I have, and toilet seats, I have an answer for that. You know where the extra money went to? Most of the cases, black ops. Mm-hmm. They couldn't put money on a budget for dark operations.
Okay. So bring Doge into the military?
No. Well, they already did a little bit of that. But what I'm thinking of more is, let's try to find out what we need for funding for the veterans and other social programs that would help the people some, and find it elsewhere. Find it in the existing budget where we're pissing money away and don't need it to be applied to these areas, and shift
and then
it.
And reallocate it.
And reallocate it properly. You know, we have, for example, a broke state of California, but they have a bullet train program that's so billions and billions of dollars over budget and way behind. It should have been done like years ago, but they just keep pouring money into it and pouring money. Well, stop. Let's use the money for veterans help in California. Oh, well, you know, it's not happening. But I think we're in the right direction.
This is kind of randomly just popped to me. We're talking about different states and stuff, and a lot of things are shifting to the states. So how would you feel about states taking over VA operations as opposed to a federal level? It's not something I've thought about, to be honest with you, until just now.
So we haven't heard rumblings recently, because it was the flavor of the month for a while, was abortion being shifted to the states. It's an unrelated issue, but it's the same kind of concept. If the framers of the Constitution wanted the states to have the power, federal government was here to protect the borders and have a standing army, okay, and pass legislatures and laws to protect, okay. But realistically, here we are in a situation where, yes, I think the states could do well, but what about the poorer states? What about the states with lack of budget? They'd have to be subsidized by the government, which is the same thing that we already have.
The veterans would be moving to Virginia, and
where the high dollars are.
Right, correct. Yeah.
But I'd also have concerns if it switched to a state level, if a veteran moves from Arizona to Virginia. Are those systems integrated? Will it affect the continuity of care? Is it better if it's just one overarching federal system.
I think in this particular case, to be stay in the federal jurisdiction, because these are veterans who are government employees in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines.
Don't forget the Space Force.
I was not done yet. My son's going to be in the Space Force, my younger son. But no, these are people who work for the Army and work for the armed services as a whole. They should be taken care of by the federal government, because that's where it started and that's where it should end. Now, you go private sector and get another job and have insurance that will get you treatment as a veteran, well, then you can outuse those. If it's easier for you to utilize that, then go for it if it's better for you.
Yes.
You have a text, I
believe. Yes, you do. And this is says line item be line item, not in the OBBB. I don't know what that means.
Well, Office of Management and Budget, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know.
But
one big beautiful bill.
Oh, one big beautiful
there
bill.
There you go. Well, line item be line item, not in
what
the
is the
one
I don't
so
I'd have to pull. I mean, it's a 1,000-page document.
Right.
I can't remember which line is what.
I think we're going to be going on another break here, our final break of the day, I believe. And we'll catch you here on KNTR Talk Radio, Common Ground, 106.7, 5, and 3.
Voice of the Free.
Catch you here in a minute or two.
Welcome back to Common Ground, right here live on 106.75 and 3, Voice of the Free. Sitting here with Danny, talking about the veterans.
And being the fact that we're here in Lake Havasu, and we're literally 100 yards away from a parade going down Main Street McCulloch here in town, really hammers home the patriotism in Arizona as a whole, in Havasu especially, because of the, let's just say, right-leaning populace that we have here in town.
Right.
I'm proud to see the outpouring of support of the military here in town, and it's encouraging to know that people still care. But care in your mind and your heart is not going to save the lives of veterans who are in need.
Right.
You can have the best intentions in the world, but if you don't have the resources and facilities to help these people through their trying times, goodwill and good intentions won't work.
Right.
You know, a pat on the back and a thank you for your service is not going to help somebody who has mental illness and drug addiction.
No. Mm-hmm.
So based on the drug addiction situation, you have a business that's in a relatively liberal community with
yes.
a drug major drug problem.
Yes, the restaurant in Salem, Oregon.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so what is the veteran crisis like in Oregon?
I deal with a lot more homeless. And
are many of them veterans?
People, yes. And a lot of them hold signs that say homeless vet, and I don't know if that's
a lie
real
or true.
Or right.
Exactly.
But yeah, the need is much more financial there than here. Like Havasu is just kind of an oasis in the middle of a desert. I love how you call it Have a Dome, because you say you're protected from the outside world, and
it's true.
It is very true. It's very different. It's almost like a different country going back and forth every week to Oregon. I do have a lot of vets that come in that are my friends, just because there's a lot of them out there, and we're that neighborhood kind of bar where they come and chat.
I think we all, it's an ease of common ground on this particular episode, even though we may be in different political persuasions. It's a no-brainer that we want to support our vets, regardless of your political outlook on things. And I think that it doesn't need to be said that we all have common ground in this area, and I'm sure you agree, Danny.
Yeah, absolutely. When we talk about supporting veterans, we need to talk about commitment, and that means a VA that's fully staffed and easy to navigate. It means housing and mental health care on demand, and jobs and purpose after service. Because if we truly believe in service before politics, then our promise to veterans has to be as strong as their promise to us when they served our country.
When they're acknowledging and that they're going to go into the military, and they make that commitment and they pledge their oath, I think we have a duty at that point to support them across the board for their sacrifice. But, you know, we're kind of closing down our show here. We got a little less than a minute left. I'm encouraged by what I see, changes that are present in the political minions in government are trying to do. But we need oversight. We need people in the military to be the ones oversighting. And we're going to be here for you guys trying to find more common ground over the next, hopefully next couple years. And we've got a political season coming up, and I hope that the politicians that we have running for office and the ones that are in office will keep the veterans in mind as they go forward.
Right. Absolutely. Well, I'm an EV veteran and a candidate for Congress in Arizona's 9th District, and I'll keep fighting to make sure no veteran has to earn their care twice.
Well, we appreciate that.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
And you have we got more time? More time? Nah, we don't have more time. We'll catch you here next week.
Everybody have a great day.
We'll catch you here next week on Common Ground. Remember, it's 10 o'clock, not 9 o'clock because of daylight savings. And 106.7, 5 and 3.
Voice of the Free. See you next Tuesday.
Week. You bet.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The Voice of the Free.